Wow, it's certainly the middle of winter, isn't it? It's the last day of the financial year today, the 30th of June, so a big shout out to all the bookkeepers and accountants out there. Yes, I'm sure you're having a very busy week this week. And I've been travelling, for those of you who may have missed me the last little while, just come back from New Zealand and interstate, and it's great to be back. Great to be back here with Community Conversations here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. How have you been? I hope you have been, well, somehow keeping warm and on track with all this COVID stuff and everything that's happening in the world at the moment. We are past the midpoint of the year last week, the shortest day of the year, and heading now, hopefully, doesn't look like it right today, but hopefully heading to some warmer weather. I've got a quiz question for you this morning. What's, I'm not talking about the MCG, but what's absolutely unique to Victoria? What's, well, let's be more specific. What's something that's living and moves and you find it only here in Victoria? Well, I'll give you a clue and I'll come back to you in a minute. This item, this thing lives and flies. There you go. Have you thought of what it is yet? Well, it's also our state emblem. Yes, that's right. We're talking a bird. Do you know what it is? Well, for those of you who don't, I'm sure there's a few of you out there, it's the helmeted honey eater, the only bird that's actually found solely here in Victoria. And for those of you who recognise the helmeted honey eater, you will know that it is critically endangered. Well, fortunately, we have an amazing group called the Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eater that have been established since way back on the 23rd of May 1989. Well, I make that about 33 years, and they have been doing an amazing job of supporting and monitoring and doing a whole lot of other things. We're going to be hearing from two of the amazing Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eater team here this morning. I have Sue, I hope I've pronounced your name correctly, Sue Tardif, is that right?
Correct.
Yes, and Sue is the Community Engagement Facilitator. Wonderful to have you here in the studio, Sue.
Thank you very much, Bruce, and hello to your listeners.
Wonderful, and all the way from, well, inner Melbourne, Helen Corney. Helen, welcome this morning. Wonderful to have you with us.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here.
And Helen is the Beyond Yelling Bow Project Officer, and we're going to hear what Beyond Yelling Bow looks like in a little bit. So, wow, Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eater are one of my absolute passions. If you are a regular listener here, you might recall that we spoke with Alan Clayton and Dr. Dorothy Scott here on this program on the 24th of March. If you did miss that and you want to hear more about it, go to our podcast here on our website. There's so much we can talk about this morning, Sue and Helen. The bits we don't get to, we're going to ask people to have a look at your website, of course, because helmetedhoneyeater.org.au gives all sorts of information, which we won't get to talk about this morning. But a shout out before we start to Alan, of course, Gretchen, Stephen, Suzanne, Robin, Sue, Richard, Virginia, Amy and Andrew, the amazing committee that you have there, and all volunteers, Sue, all volunteers and hardworking, amazing people.
That's correct, Bruce. Yeah, the Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eater thrive on volunteerism. So people get involved in all sorts of ways, and the committee is certainly one of those. And then lots of people involved in on-ground activities as well. A special shout-out perhaps going from what you said earlier to Suzanne, who I know I was on the phone with her this morning, is very busily getting that end of financial year stuff organised for the Friends. So thank you, Suzanne.
Good on you, Suzanne. We need people like you. We absolutely do. Let's, Sue, take us back. Well, I'm sure you haven't been involved since 1989, but I know you have been involved for a long time with the Friends. Steve Craig, I think, was instrumental in setting it up back then. But roll on. It was recognised, wasn't it, back there by a group of concerned people that it was critically endangered. It was the state emblem, or is the state emblem, and the Friends came into being. And Alan has told us a bit about that. Roll us forward from there. Are the friends bigger and stronger and more determined than ever?
It's correct, Bruce, yeah. So 1989 was a founding day for the friends group and also the recovery of the Helmeted Honeyeater. So lots has certainly happened since that time. But the core objectives of the friends group have remained the same. And it's the strength of volunteerism and the friends group itself. And it's the strength of the recovery of this species. So the community education is really important. If people don't know about something, then they don't care. So the friends group is very actively involved in education and just getting people involved. Come and learn, come and hear, put your feet on the ground.
We're going to hear all about that. So one question, though, that some listeners will want to know and perhaps are guessing or second guessing is why is it critically endangered? I think we know, but just perhaps for everyone's benefit, why have we ended up with such a critical situation?
Yeah, it's tragic, isn't it? It's about us, really, as humans. Yeah, so it's around it's about habitat loss is the core reason that the helmeted honeyeater is now critically endangered. So it used to exist from in a fairly small patch within Victoria, really, but from Healesville right down to the Bass Coast.
Yes.
Of course, we like building things and we remove vegetation and little by little there's been less and less habitat for the birds and more people. Yeah. Mm. So as a consequence, these species and get contracted into smaller and smaller ranges. And now the helmeted honeyeater is only found in Yallingbo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. We're going to hear more, listeners, about this amazing group and the work and ways that you can get involved and support. But let's whet our appetites with a little bit of Beatles and Blackbird.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night, take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly into the line of a dark black. For this moment to arise, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
And thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Bruce Argall here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. You've joined us for our regular Thursday morning community conversations program. Yes, I've been away for a few weeks, but I'm back and this morning, here in the studio live, it's wonderful to have a couple of guests face-to-face. I have Sue Tardif and Helen Corney who are representing the Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eater. And Helen, we beyond Yellingbow Project Officer, that sounds enormous, like a, you know, it's an everywhere kind of project. Where does Beyond Yellingbow Project Officer take you?
So Beyond Yellingbow Project Officer takes me to different landholders' properties around the area of the Yellingbow Nature Conservation Area. What we're trying to do is really encourage landholders to take a look at their land and see what part of it that they could actually restore, increase habitat, protect from stock, so that we can really increase the habitat for the helmeted honeyeater and also other wildlife that belongs to this area that has lost habitat as well. And every little bit counts. So each landholder that comes on board becomes part of our network, and I guess you can't overstate the value that these people play in creating really needed habitat for the birds if they are to survive. As they increase in number, they need to be able to move out of the very small area of the reserve. And so the hope is that we get as many landholders as we can involved. And really, it's just a matter of often just improving a small part of the area that the birds will then be able to use. And at the moment, we've got over 90 participants.
Wow.
And we're really encouraging landholders to get in contact with us and to get involved.
That's music to my ears, you saying, as they increase in numbers. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. But, of course, listeners, we're talking about the Yellingbow Nature Conservation Reserve, and what you're highlighting there, Helen, is adjoining properties to that, really.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right. Many properties adjoin the waterways that run into and out of the reserve, and these waterways are really important habitat, often not used by landholders. And one of the wonderful things is that by working with other partners, we can bring access to funding for landholders. So we're not asking landholders to do this on their own. We provide all sorts of support, so logistic support, helping with funding so that they're able to pay for different types of works on their property, and also just oversight of the work, so that rather than having the stress of, oh, well, now that's happening, part of my role is to just oversee that and help with the logistics of that.
Yes, and we had an apology from Eliza this morning, who's the environmental coordinator, and I was just reading that just 1 year before COVID, you planted over 11,000 seedlings, and I'm sure some of those were on some of those properties. Would that be right? Helen?
Yes, that's right. So there's a lot of different things that people can do. So things like weed control is really important, because obviously weeds smother out a lot of our natural plants and habitat. And then restoring landscapes by planting them out with the correct species that the helmeted honeyeater and other animals can use.
Mm.
That's important, and we help with that. And then sometimes landholders have just got areas that just need protecting, nothing more, and then nature takes its course.
Right, so that could just be fencing.
That's right. Just fencing and keeping stock off a certain part. And then there's also the offer sometimes, depending on what we can get through different organisations of pest control.
It's pretty exciting. And I was looking on your website, and listeners, it's helmetedhoneyeater.org.au if you want more information. But you do have a wonderful breadth of support. But we need more, of course, and we'll talk about how people can get involved in a little while. But it's amazing to see people who are so passionate about this, Helen, you know?
Yes, it is really lovely. And I think what's wonderful for me is meeting the different landholders. There's so many different types of people. And it's wonderful hearing their stories as they begin to see their properties change, and the excitement that they get from the wildlife that starts to utilise their
properties. Yes, and seeing that first helmeted honeyeater on their property or something.
Incredible, yes.
Wow. So you, how many years have you been involved now? And you've seen this happening. You've seen this unfolding. You've seen Helen come on board a year or so ago. All very exciting.
It is really exciting. Yeah, there's continual change, and that continual change is really positive. There's downtimes, of course, as well. Like, we are working with the natural world, so, you know, we can't always predict what might happen. And so, you know, but we ride those waves. Yeah, so the birds and the animals that exist within the reserve and outside the reserve will have natural pathways of, you know, good times and bad times.
Yes.
But the trajectory for the helmeted honeyeater is certainly on the uphill.
I think I read that the numbers have increased from 50 to over 200, Sue, yeah. which is terrific, isn't it?
It's amazing.
Still very small.
It's very small, and it's and the species is still on the brink. Anything could happen that could cause, you know, that population to decline. And so this is where it's so important that people who live in the area also contribute and help and do what they can to help these species survive into the future. Yeah. So the work that Helen's doing is really important, but equally the work that the landholders are doing is just amazing and very much appreciated and valued.
Yeah, and I think the pandemic sort of has given us a good taste of what can happen to a species when things go wrong. And, you know, as we say, this species, 200 is not a lot, and it wouldn't take much to for them to be really, you know, whipped back to the 50 or less. And that's why we really need the community to come on board and really try to work hard to increase the habitat, so that, you know, if one section, for example, of the habitat is taken out by fire or something like that, then there is still refuge for the birds to return to.
Listeners, we're going to come back and talk more helmeted honeyeater in a moment, and ways that you can get involved or support the amazing work that's being done. So let's have another song. And you with Bruce Argyle. It's 7 degrees now here in the studio in Wirralik, and we're heading for a maximum of 14 degrees with perhaps some scattered showers. So there you go. Hope you're somewhere warm. Great to have your company. And we're talking the Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eaters, the only bird that is found solely here in Victoria, critically endangered, mainly because of human activity over the last, well, probably 100 or so years, Sue, or more. But we're fighting back. The birds are fighting back. The landholders are chipping in, as we've just heard from Helen, and things are happening. And there's lots of sort of, I hesitate to use the word peripheral, Sue, but there's lots of things that are happening around the main work that Helen's just been talking about, because you have a nursery, you have education programs. So let's just explore those a little bit. Should we talk nursery to start with? Just,
absolutely.
Yeah, so you've got an Indigenous nursery that's open. People can actually go in and buy plants. That supports your work. Yeah. Where do we go? That's in Yellingbow?
It is in Yellingbow, yeah. So that one's at 1217 Macclesfield Road in Yellingbow. And it's we have a part-time nursery manager who oversees a whole team of fantastic volunteers, yeah, who do the bulk of the work.
Great.
Yeah, so the nursery is open on Tuesdays, Thursdays and Fridays. But you can check out our website and see when those opening hours are and how to contact the nursery manager. So back in 1989, when the Friends Group formed, the committee of management at the time recognised very, very early that habitat loss was the prime concern and why these species of bird was actually in decline. And there was nowhere that locally native plants, so Indigenous plants, were being grown in this area. And so they formed a nursery.
It's great.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible, actually.
I haven't been in there yet. I promised myself I'm going to get down there. So.
You must. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You'd be welcome. Yeah. So the plants are grown, the seed stock and the plant stock is sourced from local provenance, we call it.
Great.
And so the plants are meant to be in this region. So people can, with great certainty, go along to the nursery, ask the staff there, like, what would suit my patch?
Yes.
Or what would suit my garden? Yeah, so there's...
Right, and certainly the ones that the helmeted honey eater thrive on, I'm sure, are front and centre there, Sue.
They absolutely are. So, yeah, our core objective for the programs that we operate as a Friends Group are to put habitat back into Yellingbow Nature Conservation Reserve. It's now called Yellingbow Nature Conservation Area. So that's changed very recently, as these things do.
Yes, yes.
But the... So habitat restoration is a core part of what we do. Over the years, the reserve used to be farmland.
But it's also education, Sue. So let's just segue to that because you've been doing citizen science projects. You've had kids in conservation mornings, and part of this is educating. Those of us who don't know that this is even happening.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if people don't know about it, as we say, like, you know, why would you care? Yeah, that this bird is in decline. And that the other species that live alongside the helmeted honey eater are also in decline, and sometimes we don't notice it.
Yes. Yeah. Helen, we were just talking off air about the challenges of being locked down with COVID when we're engaging with people and so on. You've been meeting with property owners as COVID has allowed, but what sort of response have you had from the property owners themselves? What's their motivation for getting involved? Is it they've just heard about it? Have they been challenged by other neighbours? Or what's been the driver to, you know, their involvement?
I think for many people the driver is their love of wildlife, and it may not be the helmeted honeyeater as such. It may be that they really love to see echidnas or a wallaby, and that they also understand the value of our waterways. I do think, as a collective, you know, we're starting to understand that we have a real connection with nature, that we're part of it, and if we continue to abuse it, we're in big trouble. So there's those motivations, and then there are those people who hear about the bird and the plight of the bird and really specifically want to help in that way. So there's numerous reasons why landholders come on board, and I think hearing the positive stories from those landholders who have made these changes,
yes,
and seen some really wonderful results, that also helps with people's thinking. I think for many people it's incredibly satisfying to see part of your property change in a way that allows you to still have your property,
yes,
and work it if that's what you're there for. It depends if you're a hobby farmer or not. But actually be saying, I'm giving back and I'm actually still supporting the environment, issues around climate change, all the issues that we know, insect decline, which is so important,
yes,
to all,
yes,
our bird life and other species. You know, there's an awareness about that, and I guess this main thing of restoring habitat is critical to answer so many of those problems that we face.
What you're talking about and what we're becoming more aware of, or most of us, is the sustainability of the environment, isn't it?
That's right.
Really, yeah, really, Helen?
We've done an enormous amount of clearing. And interestingly, this is, I guess, what we would commonly call swamp. And yes, swamp was a dirty word,
yes,
a long time ago. And now it's a bit like mangroves, you know, as well. Now we're starting to go, oh, my goodness, these are so rich.
And so important.
So important, the backbone of much of the environment, especially around this area. And so turning that around and actually going, let's restore this, let's protect this, is vital to the wildlife in this area.
Helen, if there are people listening this morning, property owners or others who would want to get in touch with you or have a conversation, they could do that face-to-face or over online or whatever?
That's right. So if they'd like to go to the website, then the details are there and they can call me and I'll have a talk with them. I'm going out to two properties after this, and so we'll have a lovely walk around the property, a talk about what can be done and what funding streams I can organise for those landholders to tap into. So yes, please go to the website, all the details are there, and feel free to give me a ring.
Fantastic. If you're not a property owner in the Yellingbo or Greater Yellingbo area, there's other ways you can get involved, and we're going to talk about those after this next song. So let's have a listen to, don't laugh too loud, Miles Davis, Bird Gets the Worm. and you with Bruce Argyle here on Community Conversations on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. Thanks for your company this morning. If you're a regular, wow, great to have you with us. And if you're a first-time listener, we're talking the Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eater this morning. There's nothing more important right here in the Yarra Valley. And we hope that you'll become a regular listener. There you go. In the studio here, I have Sue Tardif, who is the Community Engagement Facilitator, and Helen Corney, who is the Beyond Yellingbo Project Officer, looking at properties in the area. And we're talking ways of getting involved in supporting the amazing work that they're doing. Sue, there are lots of ways. If I was to sign up as a volunteer, what might I be doing, and how often and all of that?
Yeah, there's lots of ways to volunteer. And at the Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eater, we're very keen to work with people in the way that they want to volunteer. So we offer a range of ways for people to get engaged. And I think for new volunteers, it can actually be quite difficult to even bring up the courage to
make the
first step.
You're a very friendly bunch, so
we try to be. Yeah. Yeah, but what we find in our programs is that people come to us with very genuinely, wanting to help, and it's a very warm, inviting group, and the evidence of that is pretty clear in the group because there's such long-term involvement.
Yes, you've got 180 members, Sue, I was reading somewhere.
Yeah,
yes.
And those members are spread right across the state and even overseas. There's a couple, when they move, they stay with us. And our active volunteering group is very engaged. People who've been volunteering since day one.
Wow. And what would I do, Sue, if I was Would I be planting seedlings? Would I be helping with fences? What would I be doing?
Yeah, you could be doing all sorts of things. So our volunteering opportunities start from the very early days. So we have a new program that's for families of children who are 0 to 12 years of age. And we meet once a month and we get those families involved in the natural world. So we do, what the seasons dictate, basically, and we help to plant an area that will attract insects and the animals that live in the reserve. But we also just have a look around and explore and get our hands dirty and play, in a respectful way on the ground in a conservation.
And some people would be helping in the Indigenous nursery as well.
Absolutely. So, yes. We have quite a number of volunteers who are involved in the nursery and have been there for a long time, a lot of them. At the moment, there's no vacancies, so it's very popular.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, but there's lots of other ways that people can get involved, like right now. So we have citizen science programs, which is just a really, it's a fairly new term, citizen science,
as well,
but it's about people coming together and identifying what's in the natural world. So what we do is we go out and we do bird surveys, we do other fauna surveys, so small animals, what's actually in the reserve. If we don't know about them, we can't protect them, and our habitat restoration work isn't as intelligently done as it could be. So we don't want to, in putting habitat in for helmeted honey eaters and the leadbeater's possum that exist within the reserve, in doing that as our core role, we don't want to disrupt what's happening for the other animals and plants that live in there. So that's really important to us. So we go out and we survey for those species. So what's actually here? There's also a group of volunteers who go out on once a month on the weekends, and they do very specific seed collection for our nursery. And they're the backbone, really, of the nursery. Yeah, without seed and plant stock, then we can't grow anything. So they have a fantastic knowledge of the reserve, but it's very social. It's all of the programs that we do. It's about people getting together who have a similar mindset. They just want to contribute in some way. They may not know anything when they come to us, and that's not important. So you'll be working always alongside...
As part of a team.
Yeah, part of a team. Yeah, so everything we do is part of a team.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so you're never there by yourself. You're always with someone who will welcome you. And
In a safe and supportive environment, obviously.
Absolutely.
So that's fantastic. Listeners, there may be some of you out there who are not in a position to volunteer, but there's other ways you can support too. You can become a member. You can make a donation. And what day is it today? Well, it's the 30th of June. So they are a not-for-profit organisation who have tax-deductible status. So you could make a donation, go right on the website today and get a tax deduction for this financial year right now. There you go. There's a big plug from Bruce. But what an opportunity. There are multiple ways that you can get involved to support the important work that is happening here. Helen, there's also... an approach going to be made to additional property holders in the next few weeks. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so one of the ways we try to engage property owners is by doing a letterbox drop, because it's actually quite difficult on these big acres to say, hi, I'm out here. So we're about to do a letterbox drop to people along Cockatoo Creek and Shepherd's Creek.
Great.
And we're looking for people, again, who are interested in calling and having a property visit, getting involved, having their property assessed, having a chat. And look, these are just lovely one-hour chats, really.
Yes, no obligation.
No, absolutely not. Where we have a talk about what's possible, what funding streams might be able to assist. There's funding through Melbourne Water, there's funding through the Shire of Yarra Rangers for different types of works. Where might be the best way to actually, you know, put resources, time, money, energy into just to make small changes but really important changes on people's properties. Mm. So for anyone who lives along those waterways, if they want to get involved, one, check your letterbox.
Yes. We do that sometimes these days.
But also, if you're hearing about it on the radio, please contact us, because the other thing that we find is that once we get one landholder on board within an area, of course they know their neighbours, and it's really important for us that the neighbours talk to one another and spruik this program. As you know, when someone in your own community tells you about something, it starts to really gel with you and go, I want to make a difference too. And in terms of habitat and change of habitat, when we get properties aligned along a waterway, given that
Melbourne... Like a corridor,
that's
Helen.
Right, and Melbourne Water is also doing works along a lot of these waterways, then we're really consolidating our work and our efforts, and we begin to make really substantial changes, which are really, really important. And they're changes that will last. You know, I think the lovely thing about this project is every tree you plant, everything you do, you can be fairly sure it's going to last long past your lifetime, and that difference really goes on and keeps on giving.
Fantastic. You're listening to Helen Corney there, Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eaters. We're going to come back and, well, wrap things up in a few minutes, but let's have a listen to Tony Barber with Bird's Eye View.
Bird's eye view of you, all I see of you, out of reach are you, bird's eye view of you. You are the girl Suzanne that lives next door, love you so much but we must never touch. Spend my days now sitting in a tree. I can see you so well, but you not me. You not me. You not me. Bird's eye view of you. All I see of you. Out of reach are you. Bird's eye view of you. Sometimes you raise your head and comb your hair. I have but one wish that I could be there. they say. It is soon the end, but yet so far away. Smaller than your father's store. 14 years old am I and you are 12. All of my days in this tree I will dwell.
FM acknowledges the traditional owners, the Wurundjeri people, as the custodians of this land we broadcast from. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
I'm talking with Sue and Helen, and we're talking Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eaters this morning, and wow, the time has just flown. Sue, time must fly. With the birds as well. Sorry, that was a bit of a weak segue there.
That was
but
pretty weak, wasn't it?
What are the biggest challenges at the moment for Friends of the Helmeted Honey Eaters? Is it to get more volunteers? Is it, as Helen's sharing, to get more properties, to expand the habitat? What are the biggest challenges going forward now?
I think the biggest challenge is probably twofold. Like habitat restoration is always the critical one. And to do that, it needs partnerships. So, and, you know, to be blunt, that also needs money, doesn't it?
Yes, yes, it does.
So we can't function as a community, can we, if we don't have the resources behind us.
Mm.
Yeah. So what we've really shown over 33 years, I think, is that we have a lot of support from the partners. They, Melbourne Water and the government agencies, really believe in what we're doing and support us well. But we also need some financial support to enable volunteerism and
yes.
to enable the programs to be delivered. So, yeah, we would encourage people to come on board, take out some membership if you can.
Yes,
donations
yes.
are very well appreciated. And it goes directly, like 100% of your donation goes to on-ground work that the Friends do. Yeah.
Fantastic.
So yeah, I think they're the major challenges for us going forward.
Yes. Helen, you were telling us, you know, how property owners, property holders get involved. What sort of feedback? I know it's been COVID times and feedback's a bit more challenging, but what sort of feedback do you get from people when they, you know, say, yeah, okay, come on, we'll do something on my property? What kind of stories have you heard?
Oh, look, the people who have got involved, I think, are excited to be part of a network, knowing that they're making change. They've seen really amazing changes on their property. And so they talk about the different wildlife that they see coming into their property.
Wonderful.
And they also talk about this ability to make change into the future and having an understanding that as a species we've done a lot of damage, but here we are and we have the ability to really make very, very positive change and to protect wildlife as a whole, habitat, our environment, and especially the helmeted honey eaters.
Mm. We all can make a difference.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. We can all make a difference.
Yes.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be groundbreaking either. Like the smallest of contributions.
Yes. And we don't have to live in Yellingbo either, do we, Sue?
Absolutely not. No. Like these are actions that contribute to our Victorian state emblem. But there are also actions that you can take in your own life that contribute to the natural world wherever you live.
Mm. Yeah.
So we would encourage you as a friends group, you know, absolutely get involved in our activities. But if you're unable to do that, to get involved in something that resonates with you.
Yes.
Like we're very supportive of people doing what they can in the space that they feel the most comfortable in. And feel most connected to.
Mm.
So, yeah, find that connection and get involved. You will be very welcome by whichever group you feel attuned to.
Fantastic. Helen, you've travelled an hour to be here this morning. Thank you so much for making a special effort very early in the morning.
It's an absolute pleasure. It's a pleasure to drive from the city up to these beautiful, beautiful properties and up to the hills, as we say.
Yes,
and I'm looking forward to today getting out on
some properties.
It would be really great.
Fantastic. And wish you well in your role. I know it's relatively new, it's very exciting and incredibly important. So, well done. Keep up the great work.
Thank you very much.
That's great. Sue, you've been involved for much longer. You've been with friends for many years. It is part of a team, as we said before. Commend you. Please pass our very best wishes on to the friends of the Helmeted Honey Eaters and the whole team, Alan and everyone that's involved. Well done, all of you. And I'm going to give the website out one more time because there's a whole lot of information on there that we haven't been able to talk about, Sue. But it is just simply Helmeted Honey Eater, all one word, .org.au. And I was having a look on the website this morning. There's all sorts of things on there, Sue. Details about the nursery opening hours and plants you can buy and ways you can support and ways you can make a donation and all of that.
Yeah, come to an event, see what sorts of activities you'd like to get involved in, like right now.
Yes.
Yeah, you'd be warmly welcomed.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And listeners, I'll be back same time next week with another very special guest and we'll continue the journey. But let's wave the flag very high for the Helmeted Honey Eater. It certainly needs us to hold the flag, doesn't it?
Yes,
and
it does.
Helen and Sue, thank you so much for being a part of the conversation this morning.
Thank you for having us.
It's lovely to be here.
We're going to go out with, Bird Nest on the Ground. There you go. Red Lightning and so on. There you go. Talk to you next week.